Damashekin's under center. He looks over a nickel secondary right now. It's third and goal at the 7. Damashek drops back to throw. Breaks a tackle. Cuts to his right. Now cuts his arm and fires a line drive. And it'll be caught. Damashek with a belt-high grab underneath the crossbar. Heavily covered. And they've got the lead.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Damashek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Damashek.
Hi and hello, football fans. I hope all's well wherever you are here in Studio 66. We're ready to roll. Welcome to the Dave Damashek Football Program. As pro football's regular season kickoff draws ever closer, we're getting you ready. We're getting ourselves ready. You just heard a play there. That gives me an idea. You know, I've said this before for bum teams, like in December. If you're really bad and you're not playing for anything, yeah, it would be cool if there was a thing like one lucky ticket holder gets to play quarterback for the fourth quarter. Why can't they do that in a preseason game? Let's talk about that and much, much more. First of all, with the man seated to my immediate left all the way from London, England. He's our resident Miami Dolphins fan. I heard him talking by a cubicle earlier today announcing that he thinks the Miami Dolphins have a real shot in the AFC East this season. It's Handsome Hank. It's enough. I can't bite my tongue a second longer. Why are the Dolphins going to make a run at the AFC East this year?
Because they've got everything they need to put it all together. They're ripe. Mm-hmm. No one's expecting it. That's when good teams make their move.
It is something that people, we can laugh at. But, of course, people laughed last year when I said the Philadelphia Eagles were going to be good.
What is the difference between you saying the Eagles last year and me saying the Dolphins this year?
Yes, there's some weird – I can't do the math on the what goes into this. But if everybody is telling you that this team that has not been good is about to be really good, then they're not going to be really good.
It's like
never
the
happened.
Broadcast. You know that podcast thing that those guys are doing? Before everyone talked about it being really good, I was like, this is going to be good. Now that everyone's talking about how good it's going to be, I'm kind of over it.
The broadcast podcast starring Behind the Glass, our own MVP and her pal, Erica Tamposi, I say 21st century answer to Laverne and Shirley. Emma VP, just a few days away now from the big debut. Make sure you
check
you
it
subscribe
out.
To it now before the first episode drops.
I did subscribe. I didn't mean that.
Oh, thank you.
That was a joke.
That's so nice. Yeah, we have a trailer up there now, so you guys can all subscribe.
That's enough. All right. We get it. But yes, what about my idea, though, about
I think that it's the paper line deal.
Yeah,
exactly. Why not?
Yeah,
I think people could get, but why not at least one play, two plays? You've talked about how you could do it. Give a fan a chance to.
What
lead
about a kicker?
Lead a fourth quarter drive.
What if it was as simple as you get to try to kick the extra point or a field goal or something like that?
I would sign off on all these things.
I mean, listen, as the Pittsburgh Steelers have shown us now, Roethlisberger getting stoinked in the head, Antonio Brown maybe isn't even actually.
It's a good point, actually. Like during the preseason, if we're taking everyone else out of it, we're taking quarterbacks out of games. Why does Justin Tucker need to be kicking field goals or extra points? The Ravens should just give that away.
Well, they essentially have.
They have to the nice Danish kid.
Yeah, that guy's got the big boot on him. But I don't know how it benefits him. I guess he's the punter, is what he is. But he's not going to be doing place kicking, not with Justin Tucker there. Anyway, that's a fun idea. I hope Kamish Goodell. Has his notepad out as he listens today.
Exactly.
In the meantime, a couple hypothetical questions for you, Handsome Hank. I'm curious what you think about this. This one just randomly occurred to me. I guess not randomly. I am as I've mentioned before, I'm from Pittsburgh. We've talked about that?
Yeah, I think you mentioned it.
So as a result, I'm a fan of all teams from the Pittsburgh area, including the Pittsburgh Penguins. But when I was a child, I really took to their best player, Mario Lemieux.
The greatest ever.
The greatest hockey player
literally
of all time.
Means the best.
Literally true. And without and I don't think that you hear much dispute of that anywhere you go. But either way, I took to him so much that when he retired, for the next 5 years, I was kind of meh on the Penguins. I really couldn't watch him. I was like, this doesn't feel the same without Lemieux out there. And it took me a while to come back around and become a diehard once again of them. So that brings me to this. If you were a New England Patriots fan, when Tom Brady is done, the year after he has retired, isn't it better if they go 6-10? Don't you want that? Because it proves just how essential a guy he is.
But there are probably two types of New England Patriots fans. There's the people who are in love with Tom Brady as the quarterback that he is, and then there are those that think Bill Belichick's the greatest coach of all time. And of course, those two, you can believe both of those things. But I don't think you would necessarily want to disprove the theory that Belichick's
a
great coach as well.
First of all, the research that I'm aware of, at least, is that the millennials, people 25 and under, mm-hmm. care more. A lot of people in that demographic,
right.
at least, care more about individual players than they do teams.
Right.
And if you're trying to make a case that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, it kind of hurts his resume. It kind of hurts
yep.
the case if the year after he retires, they go 11-5 and
True.
Make a playoff
if
run.
If only we had a millennial Patriots fan nearby, we would be able to ask them.
You know what?
We don't.
As luck would have it, I mentioned her already. Not Emma VP, but her best pal, Erica Tamposi. Here she is, Tamposi. What's the poop, sis?
How's
Holy
it going?
What's she doing in here?
Sitting right here. The whole time.
By the way, we had a good time up in Oxnard, California earlier in the week. Tamposi was there with Sean Lee and Leighton Vander Esch and Tank Lawrence and the rest of the Cowboys. I encourage you, Nate DeMann, go back and listen to that episode. At least find the interview.
When was that, from Tuesday?
That was from Tuesday, yes.
Okay. Now we're on the other side of the hump.
That's exactly where we are now as we get ready to launch the second full week of preseason football. And maybe it makes me a bad company guy or something, but or whatever, but I have to stick to the no jive policy. The month of August is a four-week lie for your eyes. Do not take the bait. Every year, and it's not just the fan. It's not just some random fan. You hear the people we work with, Handsome. Everybody
yeah,
around.
Yeah, people get overexcited.
Did you see Baker Mayfield? All right, settle down. It was a preseason game. What kind of defense do you think he was
right.
playing against there? Not to say he's not going to be good, but what you thought in June is still true today. And nothing that you're seeing in these preseason games should pull you or push you in a different direction.
It's a bit like is what I call it is the NFL combine of the NFL season.
Hmm. Interesting.
I only just thought of that.
That's fine. It's not your best work. It's fine, though. Anyway, Erica Tamposi, you're here, and you are the New England Patriots fan.
A millennial.
Also a millennial. So
yep,
perfect.
Both.
You're the one, and you like Tom Brady.
I love him.
Not as much as you like Danny Amendola, but you've purged him from you know.
Well, it depends what kind of like we're talking about. I prefer Danny Amendola, you know, on the eyes. I think
right.
Tom Brady's beautiful.
Wait,
Amendola's better looking.
Wait a second. You know, our pal Will Brinson from CBS Sports put out on Twitter a few days ago, I noticed. He said, look at these three handsome guys. And it was Julian Edelman. It was Eric Decker. And it was Tom Brady. It's Julian Edelman. He doesn't belong in that group, does he?
He's fine.
He's fine, but
yeah.
Decker.
He's fine.
He's Edelman, so like he kind of is.
But
fine.
I'm just talking. They walk into a room. We're not swooning for that MVP.
He's all right. He's no Eric Decker.
No, Decker's number one.
Yeah.
I might even
no,
put
Amendola.
Decker ahead of Brady. No, no.
Oh my God.
Amendola's
no,
not
no.
as good as
Hands
Brady
down.
or Decker either.
Okay.
That's a conversation for another
your
time.
Show. I'm not.
That's a
argue
conversation for another time. Answer me this.
Yes.
Do you understand the spirit of what I'm getting at?
I do.
Tom Brady. He has carried some mediocre teams. He's also played on teams that it's a little overstated,
on
by the way,
back
for the
to
record.
Greatness.
Yes, Tom Brady. That 2017 team was not very talented outside of 12 and a few other pieces. It's a little overstated when people start with the Tom Brady's never played with anybody good on offense. He
yeah.
played with the
with
second
Randy
best
Moss.
Wide receiver of the Super Bowl era and the best tight end of all time. Let's cut out. He played with Corey Dillon. I mean, it's not like he's never had Wes Welker was very good. There, it's not like he's never had.
I was devastated when Wes left. That one. That was like my first talk
especially
about
to go to
that
the,
was like that,
the Bronx.
Yeah, that hurt.
Yeah.
All right. Now answer the question.
Yes.
Doesn't it make sense if you're a Brady lover and he's carried you to unparalleled glory in pro football history? No team's done that in that span of time.
No.
Don't you want to see him go down as the greatest of all time? Which he may not if the year after he retires they don't skip a beat and they just 12-4. Yeah, they won the division again.
Boom.
That would be bad.
That would be tough, but it's also, would you wish for the Steelers to have
I just
a losing
told you
record?
My yes, I just told you my example. Mario Lemieux, I lived it. I didn't I don't have to imagine when right. Lemieux retired. It was kind of pants,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think,
see what happens.
I think when you put Belichick and Brady together, you get that sort of greatness. I think both of them kind of separate. I don't think that they would hold up to where they are, if that makes sense. Like, I think that they're very much codependent on each other, even though that whole story came out when one of them said that they were, you know, I'm the one that leads this team. That being said, I think you can only coach someone as far as they can be coached, and Tom Brady is
I hear you.
There.
I hear you.
So, that
but
being said, yes, I want them to not be good, because I want
that's,
Brady.
I think
I want
that's,
Brady.
Well, obviously, I agree with you. That's
your
the
idea.
Reason
right.
I brought it up, but that's exactly, but you don't want, if it's proven, or if at least you can make the case, here, Matt Cassel is the biggest dent in the Tom Brady legacy, more than losing two Super Bowls against Eli, I would contend. Mm-hmm. The fact that you can say, well, Matt Cassel went 11-5, now they didn't make the playoffs, and that's the one time they didn't make the playoffs in a decade, but still, they went 11-5, which lends credence to the idea that, see, it's Belichick, you could put anybody in there and get it done. That then diminishes Tom Brady. Does it not, Eddie Spaghetti?
It doesn't. Not more than losing two Super Bowls, especially when you're an undefeated team, the best in NFL history, like the most prolific offense in NFL history. How does that not dent him? No Patriot fan remembers. They don't go, oh, the Matt Cassel year. They go, you know, 07 and 2011.
I know. I'm just saying, if you're a Brady guy.
The team was not that bad. The team was better than the current team now is, I think, roster
yes.
talent-wise.
I'm
oh,
not
the
a
11
guy.
And 5
yeah.
team, absolutely. Yeah.
So I think that's what helped. That aided Cassel. I don't think, I mean, or Belichick.
I don't think people are that nuanced in their thinking. If they go 12-4, Brady retires and they go 12-4 and win the division, people will say, see, it was Belichick all along. Any number of quarterbacks might have been able to have similar success. You don't want that if you're a Brady lover. You want the legend of Brady to only grow in the years of retirement.
Yeah, I want Brady to be, you know, like the Sandlot when the dog was way, way bigger because of the legend.
I don't get the Sandlot thing. That's the people of a certain age, that's their go-to sports movie.
Yeah,
I find it. Talk about meh. It's a Matt Cassel of sports movies.
Definitely.
Talking about great duos, which of the Erica and Emma, who's Brady, who's Belichick, do you think? Dave.
Oh, I mean, I would think that you got, well.
Who's the brains and who's the kind
Belichick,
of. Emma's
Belichick,
Erica's
Brady. Erica really? Goes out and gets it done, like in like saying hi to Whitney coming in the street, whereas like.
And I tell her what to say.
Right.
Oh, really?
And
I think
you're on
hiding
the headset.
Behind Eddie's
you're on
body
the headset.
That night, but that's okay.
Not that night, in general.
I once saw these two.
There's a lot to hide behind, let's be honest.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure. Very true.
Thick.
Yeah. I'm having a fat day.
Remember when we had, I'm having a fat year. I mean, I'm having a fat decade. It's really getting out of hand. Look at that, handsome. That's not good heavy set I am.
I've seen it.
But it's weird. I feel like I'm a little bit like a snake in that when I eat, if I just
what
ate.
What did you eat today?
You can see what I ate.
Ham.
You can tell. You can tell what I ate just by looking at my belly. Like
a
snake,
basketball.
You see it, you know?
A basketball.
It looks like I had a burrito or something, right? Right there.
It was Taco Tuesday.
That was 2 days ago.
Yeah. Taco Thursday.
Sorry, Emma.
Hey, I don't remember what we were talking about, but I want to say this. What if – so – by what would, so let's put it into, we're going to extend the hypothetical. I was going to say, let's put it into practice, but this hasn't happened
yet.
We can't
do
what
that.
If Tom Brady, though, just decided for whatever reason, Giselle calls, or I keep getting tripped up on that. Is it Gazelle or Giselle?
It's very much Giselle.
It's not never, Gazelle. A gazelle is
it's
like
an animal.
Gazelle, Giselle.
Like an
I don't know why I can't remember that for some reason. I don't know why that's
just break it up into syllables.
Blind spot
just,
for me.
Just syllable.
Yeah.
You know, well,
you really thought that was ever
Giselle.
A debate. It's not GIF or GIF. It's this woman is Giselle.
I love being condescended to by a group that includes Erica Tamposi, who I don't like to tell tales out of school, but within the last week, thought the Redskins running back from LSU. What did she think his name was?
Juice.
MVP?
Juice.
Juice.
Yeah.
There is Juice.
Juice. That will be a better name, let's be honest. Yeah. I think you've got you're onto something.
I feel like somebody already has that nickname or had that nickname in the NFL.
There's been a few.
Just be redundant.
Yeah.
Well, all right, let's say Tom Brady gets a call from Giselle and she's like, Tom, I can't do a Brazilian accent. You were just down there though, handsome.
Yes,
can you try it?
I can't do it.
Do Giselle, I'll be Tom.
Hey Tommy, I need to speak to you.
Hey babe.
Tommy, it's time for you to maybe finish thinking your football career is over.
I love the guys. It's about I love the time out on the field, but
Tommy,
it's the time in the locker room that's what I'm going to miss most. And I'm trying to take that all in while I'm.
Tommy,
still
you
in
have
the
all the rings you need. Well, just come home to the kids.
If Welker would have caught that ball, I'd have one more ring on my finger.
You put a ring on my finger. Now come to my house.
I lost to Nick Foles, man. I lost to Nick Foles. How am I going to get over that unless I win another Lombardi?
You make a good point. That was embarrassing for you.
All right, babe. You want me to retire?
Please, Tommy.
I'll do it for you.
Thanks, babe. It's Giselle.
All right. Now,
bye.
Now, MVP, you're Bill Belichick. Ready?
Bring, bring.
Hello.
Hey, coach. Coach, it's me.
What do you want?
You don't even ask who me is. You just know my voice.
Yeah, I've known you a long time.
All right, then who do you think this is?
It's Tommy.
Tommy who?
Tommy Brady.
Wrong. It's Brian Hoyer. No, it's not Brian Hoyer.
Just hung up.
I'm glad. Well, all right. Now, bring.
Yep.
That didn't go so well, Coach, because it's not Brian Hoyer. But speaking of, he's now your starting quarterback because the old ball and chain has asked me to turn in my cleats. I'm going to do it for her. I'm going to retire. So good luck in 2018 and beyond. Okay, man? Thanks for the memories.
Great. Good riddance.
Whoa.
That's how it's going to go?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And you love Belichick spaghetti.
Love Belichick. No way.
So rude. So now Brian Hoyer is the starter for the New England Patriots in the 2018 season. Who wins that division, Handsome Hank?
Same team that's going to win the division with Tom Brady on.
Let's get to the bottom of this. You see the sign. It's hanging right in front of your face. It says no jive on it. It's the one and only rule we have here in Studio 66. Do you, in your heart of hearts, think that the aqua and orange the division?
Look at the division, right?
Okay, the Bills, Patriots are in it. That's all I need.
Let's go the other way first. The Buffalo Bills in a rebuild.
They might be the worst team.
They might be the worst team in the NFL. The New York Jets. Everyone got excited about Sam Darnold. He looked pretty good the other night. But at the same time, you're going to have rookie
and I told you about the
issues.
Preseason.
You told me about the preseason.
Oh, I know that Josh Allen's a bust because he rolled out in practice and sailed the ball on a dump off pass. But I know that Baker Mayfield's the real deal because he checked down to his fourth option on a play and threw a touchdown. Ergo, he's destined for the Hall of Fame.
I didn't say that.
All right,
I didn't
but
say
I,
any
when
of
you're
that.
Bringing up Sam Darnold, how he looked in a preseason game. It makes me crazy.
What? I said
when people get crazy about what happens in a preseason game.
If you hadn't interrupted me, I would have said, but it was a preseason game. But you made my point for me.
Okay.
So I'm going to put those two aside. I think the Dolphins are that they have the most complete roster out of those three teams, and I just feel like because they're under the radar, Ryan Tannehill's come back. I think they've got a good receiving core. I think they've got a great defense coming together.
Where you're wrong is about the receiving core.
Why?
I mean, maybe Goddard is
Goddard plays for the Philadelphia Eagles. He may be fantastic, but he's not going to score.
Who's their tight end?
Mike Gesicki. Gesicki is going to be a beast.
Okay, so we're going to depending on a rookie tight end.
You brought that up again.
I'm just saying. Well, who's impressing you? Kenny Stills. Come on.
The running game. Kenyon Drake, Frank Gore, Kalen Ballage.
I think they might be good too. I just don't think they're going to beat the Patriots. I think they could. I think they. If I had to say right now, and I don't, but I'd say the Dolphins 2 and then the Jets 3.
Yeah.
But I might move the Jets up past them ultimately.
Why?
My reasons will be revealed when it's time for me to issue my picks. But unlike most dopes out there who start telling you what's going to happen, how does anybody know? You don't even know who's going to make it healthy before the season.
When do you do your big Steelers reveal?
I do my picks when it's the right time, when there's no more games of nonsense between the ones that count.
Everything you know in June is the same now. What are you going to learn?
Because
so
I
what
can't,
am I, what on earth, why can't you make your predictions now?
Because what I know about certain guys may be disrupted by injury. It's not going to be disrupted by how they play in a preseason game,
well,
though.
What if they don't play in preseason? Assume they're not going to play in preseason games.
That's the point I always make. If I were a head coach in the NFL, and I probably will be at some point sooner rather than later,
definitely on the cards.
You're not going to see my team, my star players are going to love me
right.
because they're not going to have to do
you
much
don't
in August.
You have to show up in August.
They should be there. I think it's the right thing to hang out, but I don't think they're not going to have to, you know, put out a whole lot, you know. Mm-hmm. We'll practice twice a week, you know, throw it around, but no contact.
Right.
You know, I don't want that for the.
You would be playing a lot of quarterback, I can imagine, during the preseason.
That's exactly what I would be doing. Who do you got, Spaghetti?
The Jets. I think Sam Darnold's going to be great. I think the one thing that Hank, this point was making, was like what it seems to me is that like we have Tannehill, the Jets and Bills have rookie quarterbacks, but I think the terms of ceiling, Sam Darnold's ceiling is way higher than Tannehill's.
I would agree, but I don't think he gets to that height in year one.
I think Tannehill's limited what he could do. I mean, I don't think the roster's that good. I think the Jets have an okay roster.
Isn't it funny how we do this year after year after year? Really, I mean, we should really keep track of the ones because they sort of fall by the wayside. But that's exactly right with Ryan Tannehill. Everybody, it's not like he was a third round draft pick. I mean, I know there was a certain amount of optimism that went into those who really were supportive of him in the draft process, but Sam Darnold's obviously way better than Ryan Tannehill. We don't know yet. I mean, half those QBs in the first round are going to bust, or they're not going to end up being.
I'm willing to bet.
I may have blown a little smoke in this show, this Thursday show so far. But what I would say is that right, if you look at Ryan Tannehill's 2016 season for real. And you look at the back eight, ten games of that season before he got injured, he was playing really well. And a lot of the smart guys around this building would like to pretend that never happened.
No, well, I'll tell you, one of the smart guys who is actually smart because he agrees with you is Sean O'Hara. He thinks that the Dolphins are going to be good this year. Yeah,
there you go.
Damashek also thinks they have a chance. How about that?
Well, that's not. You've just been arguing with me for the last 15 minutes.
I'm not arguing. I just said that. I mean, it's a little bit. The bottom line is, I think the Patriots
think
would win.
Gonna, but I, you have to at this time of year. If you're not positive about your team, it's kind of sad. Like, let's go into September, especially when you live with a team that's not always performing well. If you go into September thinking this season's going to be 8-8 or worse, what's the point? This is what we all do. This is what we're doing in September.
Yeah, I hear you. Tamposi, who do you think? Do you think Brian Hoyer? That makes you a Belichick believer if you think that Brian – because, by the way, I just don't think
Brian Hoyer could hang.
I think he'd go – I bet you with Belichick, I bet you he'd – and Josh McDaniels, I bet you he'd go about like 10-6, and that would be enough to win that division. You think the Jets are going double digits just because Tom Brady's out? Is that going to make
Kyle Shanahan's being called one of the, you know, the best play callers and all this kind of stuff, and look at Brian Hoyer with the 49ers. So, I mean, not saying that he's, you know, comparable to Bill Belichick, but I don't know.
It's an interesting point. Boy, I forgot that that's how long ago the start of football season is that Brian Hoyer was their starter. Wow, that's weird. That's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're right. All right, maybe you're onto something there. Doesn't mean that the Jets would win 10 games, though, and I still think the Patriots.
No, but the Dolphins do sort of sometimes historically beat the Patriots.
Yeah, maybe that would be like one of those 8-8 kind of division.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going, it's annoying. No,
speaking of that sort of thing, I here's another one for you. Who is? These are like hypothetical, kind of random questions. Who is? And I'm going to start with you on this one, Spaghetti. Who is the quarterback that is the most important to his team's win total? In other words, if we remove that guy, whose team loses the most games that they would? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. This is the easiest one of all time. I think it's easily Green Bay.
Easily?
They go from being...
What was their final record last year? They won some games with Brett Hundley.
He was awful.
He was bad.
Miserable. And I think the roster's pretty lackluster, too, especially after losing Jordy. I don't think the addition of Jimmy Graham does anything. The defense is okay, but it's not – I mean, they would go from contending to win the division to being almost last place.
Well, when I say 8-8 and a team winning a division with that, it makes me think of the Carolina Panthers. They when they went on their, 3-year run? with Cam winning division crowns. I think the first one was an 8-8 year. I think if you take Cam off the Carolina Panthers, that team would be just hot garbage.
No, there's not a whole lot.
I don't think so. I think Olsen, McCaffrey, that's better than anything the Packers have in offense.
I think you could nominate the Seahawks for this if you actually believe they were going to be good this year.
I think the Seahawks are a great one.
How about
if you take Russell Wilson off that team? How bad would they have been?
I don't really believe they're going to be very good this year anyway. So I'm not putting them at 12 wins and suddenly
he goes.
I hear you,
but if you took Russell Wilson off of that team last year, just take him off of the 2017 Seahawks, that team would have won 2-3 games last year. And that's probably – I mean, like, yeah, even if you're enthusiastic about the Seahawks and think they might win 9 games this year, it will be because of 3. It's not because of that defense anymore.
I'm going to say the Texans.
The Texans?
The Texans.
Well, we know that's a hard one to.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I guess you're kind of. That's interesting.
I mean, you saw what happened with Watson last year, but I don't think he had a long enough tenure to like.
Yeah, but I'm a believer.
True.
You know what? We're heading in that direction. Damashek is getting close to being ready to announce.
Really?
The Texans return to their perch atop the AFC South, vaulting past the 1 year wonder. Jacksonville Jaguars. Not 1 year wonder. They're going to be good too. They're going to probably go to the playoffs. You only get 6 spots though. I'm not anywhere close to knowing who's going to the playoffs yet. I just know who's not going. No playoffs for you. No playoffs for you. Seahawks, Colts, Browns, Giants. Who else? Spaghetti,
please don't do this
Bills,
anymore.
And somebody else, and Browns. Did I say the Browns already?
Do Chicago? Yeah. Chicago.
And the Bears. Yeah. No, for all 6 of you. No playoffs for All right.
You really like that singing stuff.
I don't know. Let's talk about let's talk quickly about this since we're talking a lot of quarterbacks. Ooh, and then let's get to Franco Harris. I conversed with him a little while back. One of the great legends to ever wear the black and gold. One of the most unheralded Hall of Fame running backs. I know I say it all the time and it's paradoxical, but it happens to be true. Even if you have a gold jacket, some of those guys aren't held up in as high a regard as they deserve to be. Franco Harris was the man on a run-based offense that won 2 Super Bowls before the league opened up the passing rules, and then it was a little bit more Bradshaw to Swan and Stallworth in the second two, which isn't to discount the role that 32 played in the second 2 Super Bowls in the 70s for the Steelers. Either way, Franco Harris, we're going to kibitz with him about Le'Veon Bell and some of the glory days, so on and so forth.
To him in the first half of the week.
Earlier than that.
Right.
Yeah, I talked to him a while ago. I don't remember. I was in 2018. I know that.
It was in 2018.
Good. It was definitely 2018, wasn't it, MVP?
It was definitely 2018.
You were there. You took a picture with him and everything, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
You know what I remember about it is that he liked me, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he?
You got some good ideas.
He must
him.
Know you by now. He must have been hassled by you enough times
well, a lot
to
of
know
people,
exactly who you are.
It's weird. A lot of people tell me I look like him. With
you
it.
Do look a little like him.
I don't
him.
Really see it but just because I have a beard, but a lot of people send pictures, and a lot of people liked it when I tweeted that. They see the similarities between the two of us. But
thick set.
Didn't he? Erica, you were there for that interview.
Yeah.
Didn't Franco
say? Were you guys talking about his restaurant, and you were?
That was Bettis.
Oh, see, I don't know.
But what about, but didn't Franco's, wasn't his wife, didn't she say, like, I like that guy. He was funny. Those are the things I remember.
She definitely said that, yeah.
She definitely.
Yeah.
Emma VP, she did say that.
I know, that's what I said.
Are you being serious?
Yes.
Was that his wife or Staubach's, though?
Oh, maybe it was both. Let's say both.
I think both.
Yeah,
Roger
I think Staubach's. It was all of them. All their wives.
I'm delightful. I'm a lot of fun. Hey, Spaghetti, you know what? I'm feeling hungry. Why don't you give us some noodles?
So get together and canoodle. We got the whole kit and caboodle. And while the questions, they may be futile, it's time for you to use your noodle. Yeah.
Here's your host, Eddie Spaghetti.
All right, so since I had my glorious trip to Seattle, you asked for a Seattle-based user noodle edition. So do you guys want to do offense or you want to do a defensive one?
What? So you enjoyed the Pearl Jam experience?
It was the best trip of my life, yes.
The best trip of your life?
Yeah, nothing will amount to that. Not wedding.
Who else did you go with?
Just my best friend from high school.
But your love wasn't there with you.
No.
How could it have been the best time of your life if the love of your life wasn't there by your side? Oh, he was.
No.
Eddie was there.
Yeah, he was on stage. I told her, like, hey, you can come. And she's like, no, you'll enjoy it way more with Landy, my friend.
That's true love.
Like, because, like, me and him are both in the fan club together. We've been to, like, over 10 shows together. And I haven't been with him at a show in a while. So
what do you get to be in the fan club? What benefits
of being in the fan club afforded
you? Do they send you, like, newsletters and balloons stuff?
Yes, newsletter. You get a magazine. You get like, vinyl singles. You get, like, first access to tickets and events and stuff like that. All right, it's very worth it.
Do they have a cool name for the newsletter?
The newsletter's deep.
Sorry, for the fan club.
10 Club. From their first album.
Handsome, who do you think between the two of us could name more Pearl Jam songs? That's a little
definitely
offshoot.
I don't like Pearl Jam? No interest.
You don't like them at all?
No.
Right. I like, you know what?
They're
like,
huge. They're huge in England. Like, that's like their number, I'd say, two place.
Spaghetti, what's regarded as their greatest record?
10.
10 is their best, their first one is their best record?
Sold the most, yeah.
Well, that's not the issue. It's what's the best.
That's what most people know.
What's really? The newsletter
I like the
say?
Second one best.
Versus.
What was that one called?
Versus. Yeah.
I like that quite a bit.
That's the fastest-selling album of all time.
Go. I remember buying it at the store. See, that's what we talked about on Tuesday's episode, Handsome.
Yep.
We're now, we laugh. Oh, it's silly that Spaghetti has such affection for a band. When you're in your 20s or in your late teens, this is the time. It's fun to go and see multiple shows.
Go do those
shows.
Things. You got to do it.
Yeah, that's what it's fun. It's not just the 2 hours or whatever that the band plays either. It's
three
and a half hours. That's too much. I'd get bored. I really would.
That's sad. No bands do that. 3.5 is awesome.
3.5 hours.
That's too much. That's like a movie that you're like, I'm here and I'm enjoying. You know, I paid my money, but I wish it would end.
It's like the third act of an Apatow movie. Like, all right, do we need this though? Is this essential to what we're doing here?
Very. I wish it was 4.
It's nice. I think that's nice that he is.
No, sorry.
What band have you seen the most? I know you love Radiohead, number one in your book.
What band have I seen the most?
Tamposi, what's your favorite band?
It's more of an artist. So I've seen Justin Timberlake like a million trillion times.
How many, for real, how many times? Like 17?
Yeah, like every time he's on tour, I see him in multiple cities.
I was talking.
Does
to
the experience change a lot?
All the time. Really? He is an incredible performer. His voice is unreal.
I would think it's funny you say that because I would think that unlike going to see the Dead, who mixed and matched songs, and that was part of the pleasure for the diehards, was tracking what songs you're there to see them perform. I gather that's how Pearl Jam is at this point. And they do a ton of covers and everything, which is fun.
Yeah.
Fish kind of does that. It seems to me that if you're going to see one of those, what I don't even know what you call that kind of music, pop music or Justin Timberlake or Taylor Swift. I would think by the nature of what they're doing that the show is so choreographed that there couldn't be any variation. There wouldn't be a point to saying, I saw Justin Timberlake on that blank tour, 4 different cities. Like, well, you saw the same show 4 times in a row.
Yeah, I think there's definitely like a variation, but he does different covers and he has this whole, like his whole thing is the Tennessee Kids is his band, which is like a full brass section, and so like it is pretty choreographed, but also they do a bunch of covers and
did you see by the way the brass the gang that is doing Rage Against the Machine covers
with the
woman lead singer who you realize that compared to Zach De La Rocha doesn't lose a ton because his voice tends to be on the higher end, and who would ever thought that a brass section could add so much to Rage Against the Machine songs, but Google it. Look it up. It's awesome. Have you seen that, Spaghetti?
The video you're talking about? No, I've not.
There are a few of them. It really is.
I'm a big fan of the band, so I'll look.
All right. Yeah. I think you'll like it. Now, that's a band I've seen maybe 4
times
in my life.
I want to, but Zach is not with them, so they perform now as like Prophets of Rage, but that's not my...
I think I've given that list. I've seen Tribe Called Quest on New Year's at what venue was that? I saw Smashing Pumpkins and Nirvana.
I'm just shaking my head at this bit.
At the Aragon in, because I've done it too many times?
Yeah.
I think what's so. Your it's also again? Very personal, I think.
All right, I don't know. You know what?
I think offense, Eddie, in answer to your question from 11 minutes ago.
Thanks. I can do what I want. Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
See, my
your name is literally in lights.
Hovering over my left shoulder.
I forgot about that.
I'll speak about what I want to speak about. All right, go ahead. Let's do you. Should we do the music again? Just to remind
people
us
may have forgotten what we're doing, so I think we should do the music again.
So get together and canoodle. We've got the whole kit and caboodle. And while the questions, they may be futile, it's time for you to use your noodle. Yeah.
Once again, Eddie Spaghetti.
All right, so, Hank, you want the offensive one?
I mean, just to move the show along, I said something. I don't really
what
care.
What are you doing here?
Seattle-based questions here, two Seahawks questions. So I said one offense, one defense. Quickly, everyone in Seattle, everyone wears Seahawks gear. So I get why Sully caught on and is like a super fan for them now. It's one of the great marketing things that
anyone's come up with is selling the 12 jersey.
Oh, all over.
Yeah. Transcends in the age of free agency especially. Unlike in the 70s, you could buy a Franco 32 and it was good for the next decade. The guys move on after 2 years, you may have heard very often. So, yes, that 12 fan jersey is a good move. Anyhow, go ahead.
So we could do, can you name the Seahawks QB and receiver combo who've totaled at least 10 touchdowns together? And receiver combo can
mean... Whoa. I got to go slower here. By the way, did you meet you told me that you met some DDFP people up
there? We did. I met a huge fan.
Do they recognize you?
He did. He was working in the stadium. Met him for a few rounds, and he's his name. I'll give him his Twitter name, Justice Scott, and his at ChaseandJace1214. So follow him. Great guy. He is a huge fan of the DDFP around the NFL. Move the sticks. Loves everyone here, including Emma and Erica off air, and all their funny tweets and everything. So he was a great person.
He knows Handsome Hank as well.
Everyone. He listens to every show.
Wow. Yeah. Really.
Yep. Okay. All right. Well, what is this again now? Quarterback and receiver.
It's a quarterback combo with either as a receiver, a tight end, or a running back who have combined for at least 10 total touchdowns.
Receiving
wait
touchdowns.
Wait a second. I don't understand this. So, wait, a quarterback threw the ball.
Yes.
So but it can't be.
But it could be a running back catching it, a tight end catching it, or a receiver catching it. So
right,
any
but they've
got to
be
that.
Passing
correct.
Touchdowns.
Correct, yes.
10 okay. times in a season or in life? Oh, yeah, it would only be.
It was just the combo with the quarterback. With
in the history of Seahawks.
In the history of the Seahawks, so in a season. The 2016 season, someone did it with someone. Or
right,
so forever, you, this quarterback and this guy had a number of touchdowns together.
All right. Handsome, you
wait, I didn't get an answer to that. That was a question.
Is this too hard for everyone to understand?
No, I got it. I got it.
I didn't get the answer to the question. Is it one season or of all time?
No, just they're all time. Like who?
Okay. They're all time, okay. Right.
So you name the quarterback, it has to be like, who have they done it with?
Yeah. Okay, I get you. I'm there now.
Okay. All right. Well, wait. All right, Handsome, you start us off here. Who's playing in this one? Is Tamposi?
Is she still in the room?
Tamposi
see
and
how
Emma.
She does, I guess.
Tamposi and Emma can talk amongst themselves, and you have a joint effort.
How's it going, buddy?
I wrote WTF question mark so far.
Cool.
So
okay.
We're going
to you guys are out. Handsome, you're up next.
I'm going to say Russell Wilson to Doug Baldwin.
So that's a good one.
Ooh, I wrote half of that.
I'm going to go with you brought us to present day. I'm going to go way back to 1976.
Sure. I know. I had it on my list.
Jim Zorn to Steve Largent.
Yeah. And then I'm going to go right back to 1980 somewhere. Now I'm concerned this is going to be wrong, but who cares? Dave Craig to Steve Largent.
So I had that one written down as well. Can I tell you something? I might be out.
How many chances do you get?
Russell Wilson.
You just can't be wrong.
You miss once, you're out.
Miss one, and then the next person has to do it.
Russell Wilson to Jimmy Graham.
No
way can
no
that be wrong.
No playoffs for you.
Can that be true? Are you positive?
Jimmy Graham didn't. I don't think ever had a double digit touchdown season with the Seahawks.
I know, but he was there for three
but
seasons.
But it wasn't season. That was the question I asked.
Oh my God!
You mean in one season?
Oh no, no, no! But either way, he doesn't have 10 total.
Really,
you Jimmy never, Graham did not catch 10 touchdowns during his time career. In Seattle.
Unless this quiz is old.
That has to.
Where are you getting your information? Wikipedia?
No,
from 2011.
We have a quiz website.
Wait, I thought you made these up. So you do nothing.
You mean to tell me Jimmy Graham didn't catch 10 touchdowns
in his
three
whole
seasons.
Time in Seattle?
I know he
was
must
hurt have done.
For a protracted
There's
stretch.
There's a computer in front of you.
Yeah. He caught, like, it seemed
Log
like he
on.
Caught one a week for about a month and a half last season.
Huh? Log on.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking. I think he caught, like, four in the back half of last season.
What about Matt Hasselbeck? And
who?
Warren Robinson?
Yes.
Well, hold on. I mean, that's you can't ding that. He's out, or he's not out. And either way,
that one's going to count, though. I think we're going to find that Jimmy Graham did have.
This must have been not updated from last season. That's wrong here because he was short up until last season. He only had eight going into.
Oh well, he got a bunch.
So, yeah,
he had,
so
that was
right.
his best season.
So
was last
right.
year.
So yeah, you're that counts.
You can't take the one I just said. That would
of
be,
course I can.
That'd be foul play on your part.
Well, I didn't care. Matt Hasselbeck to Corin Robinson.
What a stink. All right. You know what? I'm going to take a flyer on this one here. I'm going to play it close to home. I'm going to stay with Matty Hasselbeck.
I know where you're going, and that was where I was
go
going.
Go with Nathan Burleson.
Oh, no, that's wrong. Okay.
Is it right?
I'm going to stay with Matt Hasselbeck and say Sean Alexander because he said running backs.
He did say running backs. I'm trying to think of. I'm embarrassed to say that I can't recall.
I know another one. I'm so happy. I know another one.
I'm trying to think of the Daryl. What was his name? He pushed off. He caught a touchdown in the first half of Super Bowl 40, and then they flagged him for pushing off in the end zone. Remember that? A lot of people point to that in Seattle and cry about it.
Cry about it. You're right. What was his name?
Even though it was a blatant push-off on the Steeler, and yet somehow they weren't supposed to be throwing flags because it was supposed to be the Seahawks' day. How shameful that Mike Holmgren jumped in on that and also belted. I knew we were playing the Steelers. I didn't know there were going to be 12 guys on the field, including the referee against
Keep
us.
Keep it going, Dave. I know what you're trying to do.
Daryl was his name. Right, Spaghetti? I'm on the right track. Daryl? 80, 81, 82.
You are 50% correct.
83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89. It was war number 82. Daryl.
Steering wheel.
Daryl wheel. All right, you know what? I'm gonna turn away from that, and I'm going to instead go Dave Craig, and I'm going to take a shot on Kurt Warner.
No! That was mine.
They printed this before Kurt Warner completed his career, apparently.
Really? Kurt Warner?
Well, he wasn't – not like he was a big pass catcher in the early 80s for Seattle. So, wait. So, Handsome wins.
Yeah, I won. So
even though I did get one extra one because I got the core.
Does Handsome have to get another one right after you lost?
No.
Daryl? Daryl Jackson.
Daryl steering wheel.
What was that?
Turner.
No, that was Paul Turner. Craig.
There's also a Daryl Turner.
Daryl Turner.
But Jackson.
Right.
Turning the wheel.
Daryl Jackson was.
Daryl
like,
Jackson. I get it as you're playing the stinking music.
There's a few more that I think you guys probably could have gotten. Bobby Engram with Matt Hasselbeck and Jeremy Stevens, the tight end, with Matt Hasselbeck as well. Russell Wilson, you missed two.
Jeremy Wilson.
Stevens. No. Golden Tate and Jermaine Kearse.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking about Jermaine Kearse, but Golden Tate is an obvious one.
And then Warren Moon, Joey Galloway.
Yes. I would never have guessed that those two were in Seattle together long enough to put up 10 touchdowns?
Two seasons, yeah.
Huh. All right. Well, that was a fun one, right?
That was kind of fun.
MVP?
Yeah, that was really fun.
Erica Tamposi, do you agree with your friend Emma that's boring when we do use
your
noodle?
No, I liked it.
You
I
like
said
use
it was
your
fun.
Noodle?
More ready.
Again, they're taking off. They're stars now. I'm just left behind.
So oh, me. Wait, you wait till the thick cast takes off, Eddie.
We're the thick cast.
With two C's.
Two C's.
Yeah.
I was just going to go and they're like, you still have Eddie. And then I realized, like, oh, yeah, I can't remember any of the other guys' names to cite to say, like, you still got those guys. Who's the guy, the bass player?
Jeff. Been there? Amen. Yeah.
See, how about that? I know some.
Mike Creedy, Stone Gossard, Matt Cameron.
Stone Gossard. That's what I should get. All right. Do you want to do one more, Handsome, or do you want to wrap it up?
Well, another quiz.
Yeah.
No. No, I don't. No,
look
I don't.
Look at it. Emma's just, I mean, Emma VP just outright disgust at
the
idea. The
whole show to be a game?
Yeah, I mean,
well, we're talking about
let's not mess around.
What are we talking
Dave?
About?
I mean, a trivia,
right.
Trivia game.
Yeah,
time
let's not
to
make
get
this show trivial.
All right, let's do it then. Let's cut it off here because Emma wanted to. So if you
I thought, what about the big interview?
Well, we're going to do that.
Oh,
I'm
going
to throw it to her right
I
now.
I see. Okay.
Here he comes, former Seattle Seahawk, and before he went up to Seattle, he also played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, where he won 4 Super Bowls. Did you know that, Eddie Spaghetti? Did you know that MVP that he played, that Franco Harris played for the Seattle Seahawks?
Did he catch 10 touchdowns from anyone?
Because that was one of my other questions, is about Hall of Famers that played in Seattle, and he was one.
I think
that would have been kind of a better one than you wound
up doing.
It's
too short.
I like that one. That was fun.
Yeah.
It's only like 7 people.
You see how you freeze, though, in the moment? I can't believe I couldn't think of Daryl Jackson. And then as soon as the game was over, I immediately could summon the name.
Right.
All right. So let's get to it then. I had a lot of fun talking with him several weeks back. Number 32, he's not my father. I only half wish he were. Here he comes, everybody. Franco Harris.
Hey, 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 damn much.
Let's do something that we've done with a bunch of Hall of Famers, and that is, in your mind, great, awful. I there's a certain play that I think some football fans may recall with you in your rookie season. Whichever one it is, it could be an innocuous play in October against the Chiefs, if that's how you want to go. But the plays that resonate in your brain all these years later, what are most special to you, or most painful, or otherwise?
Well, I mean, definitely that one play resonates the most, and but we want to go beyond that.
If you wanted to, you're more than welcome to talk Immaculate Reception.
And I guess when I look at my rookie year, that I went into the league saying, Franco, you have to produce in the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter is when games are won or lost. So make sure you're in great shape and make sure you can produce in the fourth quarter. And I have to say, looking back my career, I was able to really make some big plays in the fourth quarter. And so I feel good about that.
I feel like you kind of iced, you did, in fact, Super Bowls 13 and 14 with your touchdowns there. Is it true that Bradshaw said in the huddle before the last touchdown to make it 31-19 against the Rams, did he say in the huddle, let's score a touchdown here and be the greatest team of all time? I've heard something to that effect in the huddle.
I think that sounds good. It's like, I'll go with that.
No one's going to call you on it. We'll just say, yeah, you could make up an even grander story if you want.
That sounds good to me.
Do you feel like, because I've said this a lot, and for some reason it applies to the Hall of Fame running backs, and it's a paradox to say that you can be in the Hall of Fame but still be underrated. I think Eric Dickerson this applies to, and I certainly think it applies to you, that in a weird way, do you feel vaguely underrated?
No, not at all.
No? You think history regards you appropriately?
Well, the whole thing I looked at is that every season when I went into the season, I never went into the season saying I want to be the league's leading rusher. I never did that. Every year I went into the season saying I want to win a Super Bowl. And with that, I always said, you know what? I want to maybe try to make sure I'm in the top 5 rushing, and that way it makes me feel that, yeah, I'm helping our team win and achieve a Super Bowl. But I think about that now and then, that I never went into a season thinking about where I want to be the leading rusher. I want to be the leading scorer. I want to be that just wasn't, you know, I mean, that just wasn't part of it. And sometimes I think about that. And, like, also I would say, Franco, you know, make sure you're consistent. You know, you can be up, down, down, up, down, down, up, down, down. I said, when you look at your career in the end, you know, just look at it, say that you're consistent. You know, you were, you know, you're able to do it at a certain level consistently. And so when I look at it, I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish, and it was accomplishments that were never done before. When we look at our four Super Bowls, twice back-to-back, and felt we should have had a fifth, but injuries got in the way.
In 76.
76. So as far as that, I feel great about that, you know, that I got accomplished what I wanted to get accomplished. And so do I feel, no, it's like, hey, this is what we accomplished, guys. Look at this. You know, what do you think about this?
And now to me, it strikes me when I'm back in Pittsburgh or even in Los Angeles, it does feel like to me at this point in the 21st century, you're as prominent a face with that, with those great 70s Steelers teams.
That's your uncle.
Yes, Uncle Mike. That's listen, you did used to look like Uncle Mike when we were kids, and then my dad looked frighteningly like Chuck Knoll. Really eerie. That was always what people would say. Like, is that Chuck? Oh, no, they would get closer and realize it wasn't him. And now they
had to be Steelers fans.
And now it's come full circle because now I always hear that I look like Franco Harris. Do you see it?
Well, you're a little
short. Are you flattered? Or you're,
well, you're a little short.
Little short? I don't need short jokes. That's not what I'm here for. I mean, for Franco to get into me like that.
Okay, you have a lot more better hair than I have right now.
Thank you. You know what? I was going to say it, but I'm a gentleman, and I didn't want to say that. No, what about last thing for you? As like I say, I know you're still, you know, people still turn to you for opinions on all things black and gold. What do you think as we sit here in between? I think a season that you would probably describe, even with 13 victories, as a little disappointing. I think certainly most Steelers fans. What would be your prescription going into 28 to right what was wrong?
You know what? I just don't know if we can do enough to take our defense to the level it needs to be. That's the part that, well, the last couple of years, that's what my concern was, that can we have a championship defense? We just haven't reached that level, and it's been it's been disappointing, at to say the least, and especially some big games, and especially against the run, which the Steelers have always been known.
I wonder if other fan bases feel the way when you watch that Jacksonville game in the divisional round. It really guts you in a way that it's hard to describe. You, what's happening? They can't stop, because as you say, my entire life it's been, well, of course you're not going to run on Pittsburgh. However else you're going to beat them, good luck.
That's exactly the thing, and you know, now they're running on us. Well, they're passing on us too. I don't know what it is. You know, is it the talent? Is it the scheme? Something's not clicking defensively. Offensively, these weapons are. Oh my gosh, do we have weapons offensively?
Mm-hmm.
It is so exciting to see that. But as I said, I'm not sure if we can get enough in 1 year to have our defense to the stage it really needs to be. So I guess that's still a worry.
It does seem as though that the way they're lining things up at this point, that it's all in for one more go at it with this group, and if not, then we're going to turn the page collectively from the big three on offense and beyond. Last thing for you, I'm putting you on the spot. You won four Super Bowls with him. Terry Bradshaw, or two-time champion, three-time Super Bowl participant, Ben Roethlisberger.
What about it? What are you saying?
Choose.
What's the question?
Choose one or the other. Who do you want to go to dinner with? No, who do you want? Who's the better quarterback?
Like, I'm going to go to dinner, whoever's going to pick up the check. I'll see who does that.
Well, Terry does well on Fox, so I think he could do that for you.
Well, I think Ben can do it, too.
I heard he makes a lot of money as well.
Yeah. No, I don't. I don't have to choose. You know, I played with Terry, and you know, he's a one of the greatest quarterbacks of all times, and it was great playing with him. Tough guy. You know, his arm was incredible. You know, was
really one of the top five or six arms of all time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, you know, to say to choose, I've never played with Ben, so you know, like I'm not qualified to make that comparison. So, but I'm glad that that we have Ben. You know what I mean? You know, he's a great quarterback, but I don't have to pick, and I don't have to make comparison.
You know what? I could tell you you're wrong, and you must pick. But instead, again, I'm going to be a gentleman, and we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for the time, because, like I say, I mean, my earliest memories are Franco Harris and Rocky, and going and seeing Lynn Swann run onto the field with double terrible towels.
I just want to say that, you know, these guys told me you were not a gentleman. I take that back. You are a true gentleman.
I comported myself nicely. Oh, that's great news. I'm pleased to hear that. Good. That's very flattering. Yes, thank you. Do you want, before you go, do you want to sing the Steeler polka? Da-da-da-da-da-da.
No, but I do want to say that
Franco.
That I grew up now. So I grew up, my childhood team, because where I grew up an Eagles fan. So, you know, I'm an AFC guy, and you know, and no doubt that, you know, the Patriots, man, you know, they're great, you know, and AFC, but I'm going with my childhood team. It's like unbelievable. My childhood team is in the Super Bowl. Who would have thought, right, that part of Pennsylvania would get to the Super Bowl? Who would have thought that?
Well, now they could do us a real solid by keeping the Steelers as the only team with six. So
So I'm going to say, fly, Eagles, fly.
Now that could go viral. Franco Harris singing "Fly, Eagles, Fly." I don't know about that, but either way, yes. On behalf of
Be a nice guy.
With my Chuck Knoll looking father and Franco Harris looking uncle, we loved watching you through your entire career, and it's a great thrill for me to get to talk to you.
Thank you. This was great. Thank you.
All right, there he goes. The great 32, a Hall of Famer for all of time. So thanks to him. Thanks to Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass. A fine trivia, batch of trivia today. Emma VP, I don't know, you know, for her cynicism. Keeps me honest, I think, you know.
I think she just can't wait to watch tonight's big preseason games.
Oh, yeah, enjoy those tonight, MVP,
yeah,
Erica Tamposi. Make sure, I say it again, make sure you're subscribed so that you get it. Right when it becomes available to you early next week, the broadcast podcast, download it and subscribe and all that stuff so you're ready for it. While you're there, go ahead and do it there. I don't know why my voice turned into Peter Brady's, but go ahead and do the same with Dave's of Thunder. Solid gold stuff there. Handsome Hank will probably be starting an independent podcast somewhere.
Had that discussion twice this week, Dave.
It's true, you have.
Are you and Eddie Spaghetti,
right?
Yep, me and Eddie.
Good.
Thick cost.
Deep dive into Pearl Jam, into castrating sheep.
Yep. Cows.
It's been a thin slice of heaven.